You're listening to The Head Trash Show with the founder of Head Trash, Alexia Leachman. Head Trash is the home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence, and contentment in your life. Tune in every week as Alexia shares insights and simple strategies to help you create some headspace to experience confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, I guess that if you listen to this show, that you're probably into using some kind of technique to try and sort your head out. So maybe you've tried meditation. Maybe you've tried visualizations. Maybe you've tried affirmations, the law of attraction. You've maybe dabbled in a lot of these things. And perhaps they might not be working for you. Well, today's show, I hope to help you with all of this because I've got some fabulous guests on the show today. I've got Julian and Catherine from the Changeability podcast. Now, if you haven't heard the Changeability podcast, then I suggest you check it out because their podcast is really, really brilliant and unique. And it's got a very unique British quirky charm about it. And I won't say anything more than that because you just need to check it out. But essentially, they decided to launch the podcast because Catherine wrote a book called Changeability. And the podcast is all about what she covers in the book. But the book is brilliant because what she does is Catherine has created a brilliant structure that helps to weave together all these techniques that I've just mentioned and more so that you can make sense of them, do them in an order that actually means that they start to work for you and get some brilliant results. So without going too much into what that's all about, because Catherine does expand a lot on that in our chat, but really that's what the Changeability podcast is all about. And the book, it's weaving together all those techniques in a really solid framework. So today's show is really going to be super, super useful. And on top of that, they are an absolute hoot. I really enjoyed chatting to Julian and Catherine. I was on their podcast. Was it last year? Yeah, I think it was last year. And it's brilliant. So I had to get them back on my podcast. So here is the time that I spoke to Julian and Catherine all about changeability and how you can change your life for the better. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to say because the two of you has completely thrown me. How do I introduce two
just,
people?
Just ignore the fact there's two of us.
So thank you so much for joining me, Catherine and Julian from the Changeability podcast. Thank you so much. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing fantastically. Thank you so much for inviting us. It's brilliant to be on your show.
It's brilliant. I know you guys, I was on your podcast when you first launched your podcast a few months ago now. So it seems only right that you guys should come on and share all the great work that you're doing with my listeners as well. So thank you so much for joining me. It's brilliant.
It's lovely. Lovely to be here.
Thank you.
So for my listeners, those that maybe haven't heard your Changeability podcast, would you mind just sort of giving a little whistle-stop tour as to what, you know, what you guys do and how you came to do what you do?
Well, essentially, I mean, the concept of that changeability is this idea that you can make changes in your life, that you have the ability to make changes in your life, to go about creating a life which is more meaningful to you. I think that's probably the basis of where it starts. So we look at what might be underlying beliefs and values which might prevent you from making changes in your life, because many of the things which stop us from making real lasting change is about our mindset and our internal values. So it's the Changeability podcast is literally about the ability to make changes in your life.
And one of the reasons why we started the podcast was because I'd written a book of the same name, Changeability, Manage Your Mind, Change Your Life. And the idea was that we'd start the podcast to talk around some of the things that are in the book, basically. But they've all come out of work that we've been doing ourselves over a long time, really, over a number of years. because we both come from an education background. So we've both been involved with helping people develop themselves in one way or another, and also developing our own teams of people that have worked with us. And over a period of time, we've also got more and more interested in like self-development, personal development. And we can see that although people want to change and learn things and do things differently, some people manage it much better than others. And we just got more and more interested in, you know, how come some people are able to do what they want and reach their goals and all this sort of thing, and other people struggle more? And I suppose it's just been a mixture of all of that has come together, and it sort of culminated in us setting up something called brilliantlivinghq.com, which is like our website home, where we sort of talk about these things, and we have some sort of mind management, as we call it, mind management tools to help people make changes and sort of live the life they want, really.
Well, that all sounds fabulous. So when you talk about mind management tools, like, because it sounds to me that, you know, some of the things you're saying that people can change, and I'm aware of some of this stuff, you know, it's really hard for us to change some of our thinking and to, you know, go for that goal, because you sometimes just feel completely blocked on stuff. So I'm just thinking, some of the tools that you share, what would you mind just telling us a little bit about some of those tools that you share to help people make those shifts?
Well, I think one of the really interesting things about trying to change something is we have this idea, don't we, that we want to set some goals, or we know that we want things to be different, but somehow it just, even though we think we know what we want, we just don't do it.
Despite our best intentions.
Had these intentions, and that's what's really interesting. And the way we look at it is that your conscious mind can set a goal, because your conscious mind is where your incredible imagination is, and what, you know, where we think we do our thinking. But actually the truth of it is that most of what goes on in our mind is part of our subconscious, which is so much more powerful. So if your conscious mind and your subconscious mind are not sort of working in the same direction, then you're on a bit of a loser, really, because you can't always just rely on willpower and things like that to make the changes that you want. So what we try to do is to get people to think, first of all, actually to be clear about what they want, because that is a major thing that a lot of people don't really spend time doing. Mm. So they have a vague idea that they don't particularly like their life now, but actually don't really think what is it they want to change and what they want their changed life to look like. And so that's one thing that I would say would be like your first step. But then it's about identifying what is holding you back from that. What are those what we call limiting thoughts, those self-beliefs, those negative beliefs, that little voice inside you? This is all your stuff, Alexia, isn't it? You know, all your head trash stuff, actually. And it's about trying to catch those out in a way, and to find out what they are, and then to clear them out, which is like, you know, the fantastic work that you do. And then what we do, some of the tools we like to use are around then replacing those negative limiting thoughts with more positive ones. So we are great fans of things like affirmations, which are basically positive statements that anyone can use. And in fact, we all use affirmations all the time anyway. It's just a lot of the time they're negative ones.
Yeah.
So every time you worry about something, or every time you tell yourself you can't do something, like, oh, I'll never be any good at that, you're affirming to yourself a negative affirmation. So what we try to do is get people to think about putting it in a more positive way, and thinking about what you want rather than what you don't want.
I think one of the interesting things about what Catherine has done in her book has been the fact that there are a lot of disparate techniques out there which have been put forward by many different people. And I think the value in what Catherine has done with her book, The Changeability Book, is to give an order and a structure to that process. So it starts, it begins with, as you say, the sort of concept of goal setting, but it moves on from that to look at various different steps which you might take towards gradually replacing that, and affirmations is one of those steps, I think, along the way.
Yeah, and then there's, there are lots of different tools that people can use. So, I mean, I talk about affirmations because I think they're quite easy to use. It's just a matter of remembering to do them, and also because they make you feel really nice when you do them. But there are lots of other things, like visualization is another tool that we all use every day. Mm. Every day we decide we want to do something, you know, even if it's just shopping to decide what we're going to have for our dinner, you know, you're visualizing at that in your mind. So it's about doing the stuff that we do every day, but doing it on purpose. Mm. To help us achieve what we actually want. And, you know, visualization is a very well used technique in the world of sports, for example. Mm. Where probably almost every elite athlete in the world is using it in one form. I mean, even footballers. One of our podcasts we did recently is we did some quotes from Wayne Rooney, of really? All people. I know. I was,
yeah,
who was, you know, who apparently has used visualization from a very young age in terms of his footballing ability. So it's, you know, there's nothing weird about it, is what I'm trying to say. It's very mainstream, but it's about doing these things on purpose.
Yeah.
And then there are lots of other little techniques that we can use every day. I mean, things like being aware of all the great things you already have in your life, which is this idea of this gratitude and the importance of gratitude, or as I like to call it, appreciation. It's about appreciating what you have here and now, because that puts you in a much better place to then get what you want in the future, if you see what I mean. Because underlying all of this, we can think about what we want in our futures, but actually we also have to be aware of where we are here and now, because this is what we have, isn't it?
Absolutely.
This is what we have. And this is where the sort of whole idea of mindfulness comes in, which is another technique that anybody can use any minute of any day, really. Mm. And, you know, there are different ways in which you can explore mindfulness. And one of the most popular ones of those is meditation. So we also talk about meditation, and, like, for example, on our website we have a guided meditation that people can get just to help people through that very initial times. And it's Julian has recorded that. Do you want to say something about
it? Well, essentially it's a guided meditation which concentrates on making you aware of your breath. And through just the simple process of becoming aware of your breath and your breathing, you begin to recognize that the mind has a capacity for jumping away from a very simple task. So you start by concentrating on your breath, and then sooner or later you're suddenly thinking, oh, I wonder what I'm going to be doing later. I wonder what I'm... And for a second, you've almost had a moment of realization where you've caught that your mind is elsewhere, that you're not, if you like, in the present moment. And I think for many of us, we can be in a situation where we can spend large parts of our life, if we're not careful, somewhere other than where we actually are at that moment. So in the sense that our mind might be on what we've got to do later, it might be on worries of something which happened in the past, but actually the only moment we ever really have is the present moment. And mindfulness teaches us that by being aware of your breath, you become aware of thoughts which are jumping away from that particular process. And mindfulness then just teaches you a simple process of bringing it back to your breath. So you say, oh, I'm having thoughts about, I don't know, what I'm going to be doing later in the day. And if you like, you've become aware that your thought is separate from who you are, and you bring yourself back to your breath at that stage. And I think it's an incredibly valuable technique. I mean, you know, simple processes like, for example, eating. We have a lot of people with, you know, concerns over things like eating, and yet many times we've got the television on, we're concentrating on that, and the actual process of eating is almost forgotten about.
I'm glad you've mentioned eating. So when you mentioned mindfulness, I was going to say my best form of mindfulness is mindful eating. And yes. just being aware of your food and tasting it. And there's a lot of research yes. that's come out recently saying that those people that are aware of what they've eaten and can remember what they've eaten are less likely to eat more later. Because if you're distracted when you're eating and watching TV, you forget the volume that you've eaten.
Yes.
And you're more
yes.
likely to snack and pick at something later. Whereas if you focus on what you're eating, you can kind of get a sense of how much food you've put through your mouth. And therefore, you don't then go later because you've registered in your conscious mind that you've had enough.
Yes.
And that's really interesting, the idea that those people that aren't focusing on their food, that's maybe the cause of their weight problem, if they got weight problems, you know. Whereas I come, I'm French, so I just like enjoying my food. I like the taste of it. I like really getting lost in it as yes. opposed to allowing it.
And that's being mindful, isn't it? You are being mindful of that particular moment rather than it being a sort of process going in the background.
Because the other thing about it is, this is what I think also the reason, one of the reasons why it works better when we can do it, and I try to do it, but I do have to admit I don't always manage it, because sometimes you just want to eat and get on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is not ideal. But yes, generally, if you can do it, I think one of the other reasons is if you're really being mindful of what you eat, then what you're doing is noticing what you eat, not just in terms of the fact, oh, look, I'm eating, but actually, what am I eating here? Is this actually
something I want to be putting into my body?
Is this actually doing me any good? I mean, if people are trying to sort of think about their weight and what have you, that is a good, really good way to start to do something about it. Because not only if you're eating mindfully, you tend to eat slower, which is good anyway for you, but it's also about actually thinking about what it is you're eating and is this actually helping me?
Yeah, and when you're focusing on the flavours and the taste, if you're eating something that's a bit rubbish, then you're more likely to notice this is rubbish. Think, hang on a minute, I'm not actually enjoying this food. Whereas if you're focusing on it, you can relish in the flavours and the textures and all that stuff and really appreciate it. But it's great. And then you'll maybe make more of an effort to make a better quality food next time round if you do focus on your eating. So, that's absolutely, absolutely. I don't want us to talk too much about food.
No,
though,
because no.
We could be here all day for that delicious food. So what other kind of, you've mentioned some really great techniques already, and many of the things you've shared already are really solid, you know, backed by science. Like visualization is backed by science, and so is mindfulness. There's some goal setting is really proven to be a really powerful technique.
Yeah.
So, you know, this stuff that you're sharing is really solid stuff. And I guess what you've done is sort of woven it together into a very structured, logical almost perspective, so that people can follow it and it all kind of sews and joins up really well. That's what it sounds like. Is that right?
That's exactly what I've tried to do, or what I have done actually. And it all sort of makes sense when one leads on to another and one part backs up another. So if you take something like affirmations, you'll hear some people will say, oh, affirmations don't really work. It's all placebo and all that. Well, my answer to that is, first of all, well, who cares if it's placebo or not anyway?
Yeah, placebo works, that's fine.
Exactly. Placebo was the basis of medicine for hundreds of years, thousands of years. There's that aspect. But also the other thing is that you're not doing this in isolation. If you were to follow like the framework that I've set out, okay, you can just do affirmations, but actually if you want to make them really count, you've done the work beforehand and you know why you're doing it. You know it's because you've got these limiting thoughts, these negative thoughts that are getting in the way. They're your roadblocks to you achieving what you want to achieve. And this is all just part of the process of helping you move along and overcome them. And I mean, it's like visualization. Visualization works if you know, if you have a good idea of the outcomes you want. And those outcomes needn't be like the absolute end point. It could be about how you want to feel. Mm. It could be about the characteristics you want or the behaviors you want to have. I mean, we're not just talking like possessions or money and things like that. It could be relationships, it could be all sorts of things. And the thing with visualization, just take that as an example, it's also about not just visualizing the outcome but also how you get towards that outcome. So there's been a lot of studies that have shown that they've shown that seeing your visualizing the journey and visualizing yourself overcoming challenges or obstacles along the way will also help you when you meet those in real life, because it's like you've rehearsed. And, you know, mental rehearsal is the other name for visualization, and that's exactly what you're doing. So yes, there is a lot, there is science to back it up, and it is a sort of process where one thing builds on the other. That doesn't mean you have to do everything every day. You have to go through a massive great list of things, but it, what it does is it gives you like an armory, or it gives you a toolbox, and then you choose which ones suit you best at any particular time. And then the other things, so they're probably the main sort of mind management tools, but there are other things that I include in it, which I also talk about as techniques that are really helpful in doing this. And this would include something like, it sounds ridiculous really, but I have a step which is called taking action.
Really important. I mean, you know, you've got this sort of concept of the law of attraction. You sort of ask the universe, and I haven't got anything against the law of attraction, but you ask the universe and it will sort of appear over a period of time. But I think most people are now beginning to recognize that also one needs to take specific action towards achieving that goal as well. So I think it's a fantastic technique.
We can't just all sit around visualizing all the time, and you know, I mean, like these athletes that use it, that they are still doing the work. Visualization is the thing that helps them, might make the difference between what they do by putting them in a better mindset than someone else, but they still need to put in the training and the practice. And it's the same for all of us, you know. We still need to do things, we need to take action. And that includes doing some of this other work as well. And then there's another point which I like to talk about, which is accountability.
Oh, that's really powerful, isn't it?
Yeah. And that, I mean, in fact, if you go back to the eating thing we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yes, please.
You know, this is a classic one, isn't it? Where people pay money every week to go and get weighed by someone when they could easily do it at home, weigh themselves at home and know if they've lost weight or not. So why do they do it? They do it because it keeps them accountable in some way, knowing that they've got to get on those scales.
And humiliate themselves in front of lots of other people.
I'm not quite sure how it works. I think, maybe it is the fear of the shame or whatever. But I just think we just work better often. And I'm not saying that you need to tell everyone everything you're doing, but it's about finding a way that works for you, even if it's telling a friend or something that's more formal, you know, like having a coach or a mentor or something like that. I mean, it depends really on what the context it is and what you want to achieve. But just to have some way of keeping yourself accountable.
And you also build in other techniques, like, for example, the actual act of celebrating or...
Yes.
Oh, I love that one. That's really important, that one.
That's
you
right.
You do need to kind of like be your own cheerleader, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
That's right.
And make yourself feel good about stuff. But then I think there's a difference between sort of the celebrating big and then using this idea of reward. You know, I've been, you know, like some people go, I've been good today, I've done this, or I'll then give myself back to food, I'll eat some cake.
Yes.
But, you know, I think there's a difference between having like a, I think you've got to use that one right, haven't you, really? But I think all of these that you've mentioned, you've got to use them right, just as visualization and the affirmations. When people come up with affirmations, if they don't feel achievable in some way, then the subconscious or somewhere in the mind will be protesting, going, no, don't be ridiculous.
Yes.
You know,
that's
so
right.
You've still got to be engaging with these techniques in the right way, haven't you, for them to kind of work and really have their effect.
And that's why you've put forward a sort of staged process, isn't it? Catherine's put forward this staged process, because it does take you a sort of step by step through that stage. So you're not getting this mental gap between what you think,
cognitive dissonance.
What you're thinking and what you're actually trying to achieve in that sense.
Yeah, and the thing about the celebration, which is like the funnily enough, the last one of the sort of 10 steps. Well, it's two aspects to it. One is about reviewing and evaluating, which sounds a bit boring, but
it's a really important step.
It sounds a bit boring because I think of it in terms of, like, you know, some of the old jobs I've done. Nobody wanted to do the evaluation.
The
sexy projects. But actually, it is about recognizing what's working and what's not working, and then if you need to sort of change things up or whatever. And it is about celebrating sometimes really small wins, but just finding a way of recognizing that you've made some progress.
So there's also reflection in that.
Reflection is like the evaluation. Yeah.
So when you're like, when you think about things in your life, that, because I would hope that you're using a lot of this. Well, I'd imagine that this is stuff that you use. What ways do you use to celebrate your successes?
Well, do you know what? some of them are very small, really small ways. So, and I suppose in a way it is like a little reward. But on a day-to-day basis, if I've got things to do, there's a couple of things I do. And they might not sound like celebrating to some people. But one is that I'm addicted to tea, right? Mm. So I will say, when I've written two more paragraphs or when I've finished this blog post or show notes or whatever it is I'm doing, I'm going to have a cup of tea then. Mm. Or it might be go for a walk. Mm. Or it might, because that's a good one as well, to get out and outside and things like that. And then the other thing I do with my to-do list, because I like to have to-do lists, is I write my to-do list by hand, and I put little squares next to them, and really a bit.
We sound like we need to get out a bit more.
and then I just love ticking them off.
No, I know that, and you know that I'm going to have to sort of confess to my guilty pleasure. It's when I have a to-do list, and I've realised that I've not been quite as good keeping my to-do list up to date, and other stuff's come in that I realise I have to do. Then I'll retrospectively go back to the to-do list, add it, and tick it off at the same time.
Do you know what? I did that today. I did that very thing today.
That feels so good. Suddenly, my list has got an extra five things that have been ticked off on it. And then within the space of 5 minutes, because I've been overperforming. That's how I frame that in my head, that I'm kind of overperforming.
Because I literally did that today, and I thought, this is cheating, really, but I've done it, so I'm going to put it on my list.
But you know what? I think it's really important, and it's a good thing to do, because it makes you feel good about your work, and that energizes you and motivates you to carry on. Because
it's about marking those moments, isn't it, in effect?
Exactly. Because if you feel rubbish about what you're doing and you think you're going really slow, then you'll start, you know, falling into a lull, and then you're like, oh well, I'm just having such a bad day, I might as well just write it off and put TV on or whatever, you know. Whereas if you're suddenly feeling really pumped and, you know, really stoked about what you're doing, then you're just going to keep on trucking, aren't you?
Yes.
I think so. And I mean, they're sort of very small examples, but actually this is what our days are made up of, isn't it? Lots of small examples. And obviously there are more exciting
more significant things
you can do. Like, we have gone out specifically like on a Monday lunchtime, which is great, because, you know, in the days when we were in our sort of, you know, other jobs,
our
9-to-5s, which never was 9-to-5, but those jobs, you were less likely to go and do that sort of thing, because you didn't have flexibility. So we've done things like to celebrate, for example, when our podcast hit number one. For a few weeks, we were number one in like four categories on iTunes, in New and Noteworthy. And we went out, and on the day that happened, the first day, and had a lunch, and we actually did a little video to record it.
Oh,
and,
brilliant.
You know, we made it a special day. Mm. And it would have been so easy just to keep working through and not really have done anything. To signify that. So it's about noticing these things.
We felt a little bit like the Beatles that day, didn't we? We had something like four episodes in the top six or something like this.
We were feeling
rather euphoric.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So I just think it is really important to give ourselves these little dopamine rushes
can be small or bigger depending on the goal which you set, I think. It's a big goal, you might have a bigger celebration, you know, like take yourself out for a meal. We've sometimes gone out, haven't we, or something of that nature. It depends on what it is, really.
Holiday.
I've been guilty of just putting on some of my favourite music and just leaping around the kitchen dancing, just like really just in that kind of buzzed up.
I've got this lovely vision of you doing just that. What a great vision.
That is good.
Well, I used to be a dancer, so although now I've been a mum twice, it's kind of, I don't have the same moves I used to have, but there's nothing wrong with doing it in my kitchen, you know. Showing my daughter how it's done.
We need a video of this.
There might well be one on my phone because my daughter's going to have it filming me. But anyway, I will not be putting that on YouTube anytime soon, I don't think. So when it comes to, I'm presuming that all this work that you know, bringing it all together in the book, that you work with clients on this kind of stuff. Have you got any sort of interesting or amazing success stories that you could share that some of your clients or the people that you've worked with have enjoyed by applying some of these techniques?
Yeah, well, at the moment, we haven't been working with private clients. It's something that we are thinking of doing. But at the moment, we don't do that. But we do have people that have bought the book and read the book or that follow the podcast, where we talk about a lot of these techniques as well. And, you know, we're starting to hear back from some of those about things that, how they've been using it. And we've got a few examples recently that have come up, which has been really great. We've got somebody who basically has used the system to give up smoking.
That's a biggie, that one, isn't it?
That is a really big one. And so, you know, that has been absolutely amazing seeing how he's done that. And then someone else has recently told us how they've used it to help them with actually talking about food. And they've given up having gluten, dairy and sugar.
Gosh.
Which is really quite drastic, isn't it? I know, it's very hardcore, but they were saying that they'd use these techniques to help them do it, and that they'd kept up for quite a long while now, actually, and were feeling loads better about it, and had a lot more energy. And then we've got somebody who's using it to help motivate them to write a book.
Oh.
And they are in the process of writing. And that was a very interesting, the way that this person had used this was to actually, she actually went through her list of limiting thoughts with us and shared those with us, and how she recognized that some of the things that some of the reasons that she'd put off getting on with it were, you know, around fear of failure and all this sort of thing, which we all have these sorts of thoughts. They stop all of us doing something or other at some point in our life. And that by going through the process that we talked about, she just realized this. Because I think a lot of the time we just go about it, but we don't necessarily do anything about it. And by following this framework. She was able to actually work through each stage and has now started writing her book and is getting on really well with it. So that's just a few examples. I mean, there are all sorts of things.
And we've just had some lovely messages from different parts of the world. We had somebody from the States, and from
South America.
South America. And, you know, saying, you know, that they're finding it really, really useful listening to the podcast in particular, and how they found that's been quite a...
It can be. Somebody said to me, actually, a few weeks ago, they said, it is actually... I was going to write you a review and say, this is dangerous stuff. Because that, of course, is the other side of it.
Story. Yeah. I haven't heard that story.
Because that's the other side, isn't it? Because sometimes we don't always confront the changes that we actually do want to make. Or when we think about what we actually want, we realize that it's not what we've got at the moment. And so particularly if that's in terms of people's relationships, then that can be quite difficult. But I'm not aware that we're responsible for any
breakups,
divorces yet.
Disgusted from Guatemala has written to us.
Yeah. I did some work with somebody recently, and then I checked in with him a few days later to just see how things were going. And he's like, oh no, brilliant. Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to have my lows in. I was like, oh no, what have I done? He goes, does your work normally do this? Like, make people quit their jobs? I was like, no, but only if you're doing it from a calm, confident, happy place. If you're doing it out of frustration, then we need to talk. He's like, no, I feel so good. This is definitely the right thing for me. I was like, well, no, I'm okay with this. I'm fine with it then, you know. So he reached a point, you know. So it is powerful work when people start engaging with these kind of techniques. It really does help to bring about this clarity that means they're making decisions that can bring them closer to the life that they want to be living. So
that's right. And that's what's exciting, isn't it, about it? And that's absolutely what's rewarding about it. And just giving people just some tools to get on, because I mean, actually, you know, we don't do it, they do it. It's just what we're doing is just saying, look, this is one reason, maybe this is why you're not able to achieve what you want to do, and this is some ways you can get around it and overcome it. And they're the people who are actually doing it.
And starting with that really simple, but not that always simple to answer question about what is a life you would like to look like? What is your goals in life? What is it you want to achieve with your life? And I think many of us can, you know, I've worked recently over this last week with some young people some variety of people who've been unemployed, and they're often flicking from one thing to another without actually having thought about the sort of lifestyle they're actually looking to do. And if you can help them begin to think about those things, it can be quite life-changing, I think.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people also are very clear what they don't want, and I've found this a lot in some of my coaching sessions with people. It's like, well, I don't want this, and I definitely don't want that, and I don't, you know, they can reel off loads of things they don't want, and then you go, okay, so what do you want then? And they're like, well, I don't want, you know, they keep going on with the don't thing. And it's interesting how a lot of people are just so focused on what they don't want, and yet the subconscious doesn't hear the word don't, and they just get more of what they don't want.
Exactly.
And you know, it's just getting them to re-engage and thinking about it in that positive language, that even just doing that alone can cause some incredible shifts in people, can't it? It's really quite incredible.
That's right.
And many of the techniques which Catherine has highlighted today are almost reverses. So, for example, affirmations. We all affirm ourselves negatively on many an occasion in our life, and it's about beginning to recognise that and actually trying to replace those negative affirmations with more positive affirmations and visualising a more positive future for your life in that sense rather than a more negative one. Being appreciative of what's around you, being appreciative of that very moment which we have at that particular point rather than worrying about what might be something happening in the future or what might have happened in the past. So it's about almost flipping on its tail some of the things which we do on a natural basis, perhaps in a negative way on a day-by-day basis.
Now I want to talk about the podcast a bit before because your podcast is really interesting, and it's got a very different format to most. Do you want to just share what your, if those that haven't heard the Changeability podcast, just give people a run through as to how you approach your podcast?
Well, I mean, one of the things I was trying to do early on, I think there's a value in storytelling. I've always felt there's a value in storytelling. So one of the things which we try to do, I think the medium of a podcast is an oral medium. And so that enables you to do things which perhaps you wouldn't necessarily be able to do visually without a very big budget. So one of the things we try and do would be, for example, to set little scenarios, often as little dramatized scenarios of, say, for example, inside Catherine's head. So, you know, you might sort
of... Actually, we went inside your head, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. Inside my head, I think. And what I try and do is to try and visualize that in auditory ways, musically, because I think music has the power to influence the way we want. Even things like silence has the power to influence the way we want. We think about things. So we try and give it some sort of a certain degree of quirkiness. We want to keep the content, but at the same time, we want to make it approachable in the way people take it on board. And, you know, sometimes I see my role within the Changeability podcast as, if you like, in certain senses, acting like a little bit like the listener. So I might ask the questions, you know, Catherine, having written the book, has a more in-depth knowledge of some of these things, but I feel it's almost my role. It's a bit like sort of good cop, bad cop, or, you know, the straight man and the comedy person, to ask these questions as if I am the listener, because actually I think often people out there listening to it are trying to make sense of it. So that's what I've attempted to do, I think.
I mean, I think also we don't have a totally set format. I mean, you never quite know what you're going to get. So some of the programs are very straightforward, and then some of the episodes are a bit, like Julian says, a bit more quirky, or we put a little bit of drama in, or Julian sings a bit of a song.
Oh, I've not heard one with a song in
there. It's only because we've just been in panto. He's been in panto, so I got him to sing his... When we were talking about visualization, I talked about how actors... You know, how it's a bit like an actor building up a part. A good way to visualize is to give it some color, some sound effects, to make it emotional. And so I got him to sing a bit of his song as he was a baddie.
The other thing I would say is perhaps some people might be used to, and you probably find this as well, used to a more American concept of self-development, which can be sometimes I'm loath to say slightly brasher, but certainly slightly more forceful, perhaps, in its way. And I think we wanted to give it a slightly different edge, that it has a more human touch, really. That's really what I think we're attempting with it. And that's
a bit
certainly
more
what I've
Python.
A bit more Python-esque.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I mean, it's just how we are and what we do, really. We haven't tried to copy anyone. We haven't tried to do anything on purpose. It's just sort of how it's come out.
And it is incredible. What is really funny, I do love it, is how many people have commented on our relationship, haven't they? You know, because we're a husband and wife team, they've commented on, you know, remarkably healthy relationship, considering, you know.
And of course, we could be acting.
And your laugh seems to get a mention as well.
Yeah, my laugh's got a few mentions.
Oh, really? Yeah,
it's a bit loud, I think, is what people mean.
No, well, now I know that you do singing, I'm just thinking, because you do it in a panto style, that you're probably wearing a dress and makeup when you're singing, Julian. Is that right?
Well, just
he doesn't do it every week.
Just on a Thursday night. Oh, hang on a second.
Very healthy relationship you've got going on there, guys. Yeah.
It is called the Changeability Podcast.
Fantastic. Listen, we are like running out of time here. I can't believe, I don't know how long we've been chatting, but I'm sure we're going to be running out of time very soon. It's been absolutely fabulous having you on the show.
Thank you.
Where can people find you online and find out more about you?
The best place to go to is our website, which is brilliantlivinghq.com.
HQ as in headquarters.
Yeah. And there you can find our blog, obviously, but you can also find the links to our podcast, which is, of course, on iTunes and Stitcher as well. And you'll also find, like, our social media pages. We have, obviously, a Facebook page, which people can like, and we also have a private Facebook group, which people can join.
Yeah, which is
Changeability
facebook.com/groups/changeability.
And basically, obviously, Twitter and all
Twitter.
That sort of thing. Find it all on our website.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I'll have all those links in the show notes for the episode on the Head Trash website as well at the end of this, so people can check out all your details there as well. So, once again, thank you so much, Catherine and Julian, for joining me on the Head Trash.
It's been lovely.
It's been our pleasure. We've enjoyed it.
Thank you for asking.
Keep up your good work as well. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Thanks for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman here on The Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get your copy of the free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes for more strategies, tips, and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time.